Boy, what a privilege to work hard if I'm engaged in what God is already doing. Let that be an encouragement to your heart. It's not all down to you. You're God's fellow worker.
Welcome to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. And Colin, I'm sure we have some listening today who would say, man, I want to do great things for God, but I don't even know where to get started in doing that. How do I do something big for God, Colin?
Well, that's a great desire, but here's the place to start. The Bible principle is very, very clear that the person who is faithful with little is trusted with much. So the place to begin is not with some great idea of what you hope one day to do for the Lord. It's to say, now, what has God called me to do now, and how can I be faithful in honoring Christ in that which has been trusted to me? And that may seem very ordinary. Yeah. You look at your working life, you look at your responsibilities in home and church and to those who are in your wider family circle, to friends, to neighbors, and so forth. And you say, how can I be faithful with what God has trusted to me now? And as you are faithful in what has been given to you now, the Lord will trust you with more. That's the principle. So it's a very clear place to begin.
Well, with that, let's begin in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 as we begin a message called Trust. Here is Pastor Colin.
Well, we're continuing our series today that's called The Apostle's Apprentice. And we're looking at the life of Timothy, who served as an apprentice to the Apostle Paul. And we began last week by looking at his calling and asking the question, now, how can we individually and together be more responsive to the calling of Christ in our lives? We take up the story today in Acts in chapter 17. Acts chapter 17, and I'd ask for you to open your Bible there. We'll begin in Acts 17 and then come to 1 Thessalonians, which was read for us. At this point in the story, Timothy is just about 20 years old. He's now been traveling with Paul on the second missionary journey for just a few months, having begun, as we saw last week in chapter 16. It's interesting that he isn't named in any of the events in chapter 16 after the journey begins, and not until verses 14 and 15 of chapter 17 is Timothy actually identified by name. So he was pretty low profile. But there is no reason to doubt that he was indeed with Paul and Silas throughout all of these visits that they made, including this one that is our focus today, to the town of Thessalonica, chapter 17 and verse 1. When they passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a Jewish synagogue. That's Acts 17 and verse 1. Now, Luke tells us that Paul went into the synagogue and for 3 weeks he reasoned from the scriptures, explaining and proving that the Christ had to suffer and rise from the dead. He was arguing from the Old Testament scriptures that Jesus is indeed the Christ. Now, notice just in passing that the apostolic message was always about Jesus Christ. The work of the church is always to proclaim the claims and the promises of Jesus. And notice how Paul did it. He explained and he reasoned. So there was dialogue here. There were questions, there were answers. But the focus of the dialogue was about Jesus and about the scriptures. Now we find here that the ministry in Thessalonica was very fruitful. Verse 4, some of the Jews were persuaded, and they joined Paul and Silas, as did a large number of God-fearing Greeks and not a few prominent women. So there was clear evidence of the blessing of God. Wonderful conversions in Thessalonica. And it's not surprising, therefore, that there was quickly opposition. Verse 5, if you have it open in front of you, the Jews were jealous, and so they rounded up some bad characters from the marketplace. They formed a mob, and they started a riot in the city. So things got pretty ugly fast. In fact, we're told, verse 5, that the mob rushed to Jason's house, Jason obviously one of the believers, in search of Paul and Silas in order to bring them out to the crowd. So here's the mob now who are going to the place where evidently Paul was staying, and they're in for a lynching. They want to drag him out and deal with him, as it were, with the crowd. Now, some of the believers had evidently foreseen these events and had hidden Paul and Silas somewhere other than Jason's house. And so when the mob arrived at Jason's home, they focused their anger on Jason. And we're told, verse 6, that they dragged him along with some of the other brothers before the city officials. So now you see the situation. The city officials have a near riot on their hand. There's an angry mob, and they're angry at Paul and Silas, but Paul and Silas are nowhere to be found. There's only this man, Jason, who evidently had at one time had Paul and Silas in his home. The crowd was in uproar, and the magistrates had to decide what to do. And we're told in verse 8 that the city officials made Jason and the others post bond and let them go. Now, F.F. Bruce explains in his commentary what this means. He says, Jason and his companions were made responsible for seeing that there was no repetition of the trouble in the town. This probably meant that Paul had to leave the city and that his friends, Jason and the others, guaranteed that he would not come back, at least not during the present magistrate's term of office. So if you look on to verse 10 of chapter 17, you'll see there that as soon as it was night, the brothers sent Paul and Silas away to Berea, which was the next town on their journey. Now, that's what happened when Paul came the first time, indeed the only time, to Thessalonica. Now, let's turn over in our Bibles to 1 Thessalonians, the letter that was written probably just a few months after the visit that we've read of from Acts 17. And we're going to pick up the story at the beginning of 1 Thessalonians. Notice there, by the way, that the letter is from Paul, Silas, and Timothy, the three still traveling together, to the church of the Thessalonians, in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And knowing the story from Acts sheds all kinds of light on this New Testament letter. If you look at verse 5 of chapter 1, you'll see that Paul is describing there what happened when he came. He says, verse 5, our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. He says, look, when we were there just a few months ago, it wasn't just me talking. There were clear evidences of God's Holy Spirit at work, and this is how you were converted. And he says, verse 6, in spite of severe suffering. Well, when this was read on Sunday morning in the church of Thessalonica, I expect Jason was nodding his head when that came to the bit about severe suffering. Yeah, I know what you were talking about. Yeah, I was bound over by the magistrates. And he says, in spite of this severe suffering, you welcomed the message with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. Notice, by the way, the clear evidence of God's blessing on any work. Verse 9, you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven. How do you know that God is really at work in a person's life? Well, you will see repentance. They turned to God from idols. You will see ministry, they served the living and true God. And you will see perseverance, they continue as they wait for his Son to come from heaven. Now, this was marvelous, what God had accomplished in Thessalonica during the short visit of Paul and his companions. Let's take it up then at chapter 2 and verse 17 of Thessalonians. But brothers, Paul says, when we were torn away from you for a short time, in person, though not in thought, out of our intense longing, we made every effort to see you. Now, you can see why Paul said we were torn away, leaving the city by night, having been banned from ever coming back by the magistrates. The ministry that he had there was cut short. He would have loved to have been able to disciple these new believers more fully, but he had to leave after the riot. And you can understand why he says we were torn away. He was clearly frustrated that he was not able to go back. And he says here, we longed to see you. We wanted to come to you. Certainly I, Paul, did again and again. But Satan stopped us. And it seems that his reference to Satan stopping them was simply to the ban that had been placed by the magistrates. Paul read this as a as a dark thing that hindered him from going back to this town. So, Paul has gone with his companions to Thessalonica. There has been a wonderful work of the Holy Spirit in which a significant number of people have come to faith in Christ. There's been a lot of trouble, and Paul can't go back to the town. He's under a ban. And yet he really feels that he wants to be able to build these new believers up in their faith. So what does he do? He can't go himself, so he sends our man Timothy, right? Chapter 3 and verse 1. When we could stand it no longer, we thought it best to be left by ourselves in Athens. After Berea, that's where Paul had moved on to. We sent Timothy, who is our brother and God's fellow worker in spreading the gospel of Christ. Now remember that Timothy was just over 20 years old at this point in his life. He'd been traveling with Paul as the apprentice for only a few months. He'd been low profile, so low profile that he didn't even get a mention by name in Acts chapter 16 or the first part of chapter 17. But now, after watching Paul for a few months, Paul gives to Timothy his first solo assignment. Now, can you imagine this? Paul says to Timothy, now, come in, sit down, we've got to talk. You've been traveling with me for a few months, you've been watching what I do, you've been entering into the work, but I think the time has come, Timothy, for you to go on your first assignment. These believers at Thessalonica, it's wonderful what God is doing in their lives, but I'm concerned for them. Timothy, if I could go back to Thessalonica, I'd be there in a flash. But you know I can't go back. They've bound Jason and the others over. They've made them stand bail on account that I will not return to the city. I can't go back under these circumstances, but you can, Timothy. I want you to go in my place. And I want you to strengthen and to encourage these new believers in the new church at Thessalonica. So the apostle's apprentice, after just a few months, is now becoming the apostle's envoy. And Thessalonica was Timothy's first assignment.
You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith, a message called Trust, part of a larger series, The Apostle's Apprentice. And if you ever miss a broadcast in the series, you can always listen through the Open the Bible app. That's free. You'll find it at your favorite app store. We'll link you to it through our website. That's openthebible.org. You could also listen to the program through the website. You can stream the program or download an MP3 for free. Again, that's at openthebible.org. All right, let's get back to the message. Here's Pastor Colin.
The apostle's apprentice is now becoming the apostle's envoy. And Thessalonica was Timothy's first assignment. So what we're seeing here, you see, is a path of growing usefulness. This young man, Timothy, he started out responding to the calling of God, and now he's being trusted with greater responsibility. And I want us to follow this path as we follow the story of Timothy's life and ask this question. Well, then, how can I be more useful to Jesus Christ? I've stepped out to follow his call. I want to be his servant. How can I be more useful? How could I walk a path that would put me in a position where I would be trusted with more responsibility in the work of his kingdom? Well, I want us to see three things on this path that Timothy was walking, and then to apply them to ourselves. This man who was trusted with more became more useful because he was a hard worker, because he was an effective encourager, and because he was a joyful intercessor. I want us to see all of these things, apply them to ourselves, so that we may walk the path with Timothy of becoming increasingly useful and more trusted by God in the work of his kingdom. First of all, then, a hard worker. I hope you have your Bible open in front of you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 9. And the principle here is that if you want to be useful to Christ, and if you want to be trusted with greater responsibility in his kingdom, learn to work hard like Paul, Silas, and Timothy did. Chapter 2 and verse 9. Surely you remember, brothers, our toil and hardship. We worked night and day in order not to be a burden to anyone. Now, it's interesting when you follow the ministry of Paul, sometimes he received financial support and therefore gave himself to the work full-time. In other places and situations, he did not receive full-time support, and then he went out, got a job, and did ministry in the evenings. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 16, if you want to check that out, tells us that the people at Philippi did actually send some money to Paul. In fact, they did it on a number of occasions while he was at Thessalonica, which is interesting because he'd just come from Philippi in chapter 15, and because they had been blessed by his ministry, they gave to the support of it when he moved on to Thessalonica. But it wasn't enough to sustain him and the team in the ministry full-time, and so what Paul tells us is that he worked during the day, presumably making tents, that was his trade, and then he gave himself to ministry in the evenings, and Timothy would have done the same. So this is hard work, long days. Now notice the theme of hard work in this letter. If you have it open in front of you, just very quickly, the value of hard work is repeatedly emphasized in this part of the scripture. Work with your hands, chapter 4, verse 11, just as we told you, so that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders and you may not be dependent on anyone. Work hard. People won't respect a lazy person. So work hard. Be independent as far as that is possible. Don't be dependent on anyone. Work to make this the pattern of your life. This is an important value to teach to our children. Study people who are successful in life, useful to Christ. You will find that they are hard workers. And that is how it should be in the church too. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 12. Respect those who work hard among you who are over you in the Lord. Or chapter 5 and verse 14. We urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle. Notice that, warn them. Not encourage them, warn them. Because those who are idle are in spiritual danger. Those who don't want to work, who don't want to work, will be in spiritual danger because the devil finds work for idle hands. That's the principle, you see. When Paul speaks about what it means to be an apostle in 1 Corinthians 15, you know what he says? I worked harder than all of them. It's a distinguishing mark of someone who is called to the kind of responsibility that Paul was given. And then we thought last week about how Jesus calls us to pray because the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. So what are we to do? We are to pray. And we're to pray for certain kinds of people. Who are we to pray for? We are to pray for laborers to go out into the harvest field. Laborers. What's a laborer? A laborer is someone who will be ready to work long and hard and sustained in the field until the harvest is brought in. It's easy to get folks who'll go out into the harvest field, pick a few ears of corn, and then decide it's time for a tea break. But that's not going to bring in the harvest. You've got to pray for the kind of men and women who will be laborers, who are not scared of hard work, who will go out into the field and stay in the field until the harvest is brought in. That's the kind of people to pray for. And if you want to be increasingly useful to Christ, that is the kind of person to become, someone who is not afraid of hard work. Now, think of the example of Jesus in this. The miles Jesus covered in his ministry on foot. The sheer horizon of his ministry from town to town to village, and in just 3 years, the extent of the coverage of the ministry of Christ, just 3 years. You read the Gospels, and Christ is always moving on to the next towns, to the next villages, for I must preach the gospel there also. You look at the pattern of the Apostle Paul's life. It's the same. These are our models of ministry. And you know what? They're not laid back. There is no laid back model of ministry in the New Testament. What there is in the New Testament is vigor, energy, commitment, action, movement to bring the gospel to a lost world. And Timothy entered into that and he learned it from the Apostle Paul. He was in Thessalonica with Paul and he was working these long days and he ends up being trusted with more responsibility. Now, I want to give a word of encouragement at this point to those who are working hard. There are so many. And I want you to look at chapter 3 and verse 2. If you work hard, this will be a wonderful encouragement to you. Notice that Timothy is described not only as our brother, chapter 3 and verse 2, but as God's fellow worker. God's fellow worker in spreading the gospel of Christ. Now in Romans, Timothy is described as Paul's fellow worker. That's pretty good, but this is better. God's fellow worker. Now let's ponder that for a moment. See, ministry is entering into the work that God is doing. God's fellow worker. God's working, and ministry is about me having the privilege of entering into what he is doing. You having the privilege of entering into what he is doing. Now, when you see that ministry is about being God's fellow worker, it will give you an entirely new perspective on the hard work that you are doing. If we think that God's work depends on us alone, we will quickly be discouraged. But if we understand that God is at work and that our privilege is to become involved in what he is already doing, then we will have a new sense of privilege and a fresh sense of energy in the work he's called us to.
Good reminder today from Pastor Colin that if you want to improve your usefulness to Christ, you need to be a hard worker. You're listening to Open the Bible, and our message today is called Trust, part of our larger series, The Apostles' Apprentice. And if you miss any broadcast in the series, you can come and you can listen at our website. It's openthebible.org. Well, Open the Bible is able to be on this station because of your generosity. We truly are listener-supported. But as our way of saying thank you for your financial support this month, we want to say thank you by sending you Pastor Colin's 24-day Advent devotional. Colin, is called Waiting for the Lord based on Isaiah chapter 40, right?
This is one of the most marvelous chapters in the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 40. Of course, the title, Waiting for the Lord, comes from the end of this chapter where we have the marvelous promise that those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. But this great chapter begins with something very wonderful. Comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem. That has really caught me. Speak tenderly. You know, we live in a harsh world with harsh words. And as God's people, we need to learn to speak tenderly to one another. And God speaks tenderly to us in the gospel. The gospel is good news. It's good news of his marvelous grace and of his free forgiveness. And you know, as we prepare ourselves again for Christmas and for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, to focus on the gospel and on the tenderness of God towards us, there's something nourishing to the soul about that. So this is a chapter of the Bible that I just want to kind of bathe in preparation for Christmas. I found it so nourishing to my own life. And this little devotional, I hope, is going to be really nourishing for you too.
Well, we want to send you a copy of this devotional book, Waiting for the Lord, as our way of saying thank you for your financial support this month. You can give online. Our website is openthebible.org, or call us toll-free at 1-877-673-6365. That's 1-877-OPEN-365. Again, our website is openthebible.org. For Pastor Colin Smith, I'm Steve Hiller. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us next time. This program is a listener-supported production of Open the Bible. Do you want to be more useful to the Lord? Learn how to be an encourager. Find out how next time on Open the Bible.